You're working on this bot loan. You're like, we nailed it. We got $2,500 this loan. This guy's doing it for $1,200. Let's go, baby.
I understand that they were nice, but if they don't have a license, you can't load them.
If we say Sean Buckle is going to be picking up this loan and Teddy Knox shows up,
that should also be a red flag.
Ding, 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 ding. Also think it would be second nature to bring your license when you're driving a truck, but you know,
that happens too.
A load disappears. A carrier vanishes. Sounds like a logistics crime scene.
Calling all CPG shippers, truckers, and logistics pros. Welcome to the Truck Yeah Podcast, your ultimate cheat code for smarter shipping, smoother logistics, and dominating the shelf where it matters most. Buckle up. It's time to learn, laugh, and get your freight on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics Podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, Teddy Lee Knox. Hello, Teddy.
Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. We got a special guest, our director of carrier sales, Sean Buckle. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Wonderful. We're getting deep in the weeds today.
Let's go.
If I had creepy music, it'd be playing right now. But we're talking about some challenges here. A load disappears. A carrier vanishes. The paperwork doesn't match. Sounds like a logistics crime scene. We're diving in. Day-to-day problems that we deal with out there. It's certainly ramped up since the COVID pandemic 2020 to now 2026. We're talking about carrier cold cases primarily. Fraud. Bad actors, Sean. Are they out there?
There's plenty out there.
Are you dealing with them every single day?
These guys are sifting through bad actors consistently.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about some examples.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about some preventative measures. And maybe we'll go into some not quite fun. I was going to say fun scenarios, but they're not fun scenarios. They're real life things that we deal with. And we're doing our best to ninja kick the bad actors. But let's talk about an example here. A truck shows up. The carrier name doesn't match. The driver has different paperwork. What happened, Sean? Can you help me with that? How did we get to that point? It hasn't happened to us in a long time. Hypothetically, how would that even come about?
Yeah, we reach out to a carrier and they say they have a truck in the area. So we go ahead and book them and say if their EOD is tracking around that area too, we will obviously believe them. And then we'll send the driver information to our shipper and then we hear that it is not who we say it is.
Yeah.
Which draws some pretty big red flags.
Right. So we have some really good protocols in place with driver information, right? So,
correct.
I think for some of our customers, we've encouraged, if not required, copies of driver's license, truck and tractor?
VIN numbers.
Truck and trailer number, VIN numbers for the truck and trailer as well. So we're sending that out ahead of time.
Correct.
If we say Sean Buckle is going to be picking up this load and Teddy Knox shows up.
That should also be a red flag.
Ding, 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 ding.
Correct. Let's verify, right?
That's why we need to have shippers on our side too.
So how does that work? I'm going to use another example, and I've seen it before, of do all these drivers work for one trucking company?
It's hard to say. They should only be working for one trucking company.
Really? But some, if you're an owner-operator, theoretically, you could work for more than one?
I would assume. That's what they say. And they say that they're leased on to their insurance.
Okay. So they're legally allowed to, in theory.
That is legally what
we're not lawyers
say.
Here, folks. Yeah. We're just detectives.
The paperwork that they could
detectives.
Send, the paperwork that they can send over will legally say that, whether that holds up or not, we still don't know.
But that's what some of our tools are used to verify, right?
Correct.
So we have some ways to verify if truck or
trailer
is on a carrier's insurance?
Correct. Through highway or through carrier 411. If you search the VIN number through their sources, it'll show that it's registered under their insurance. And then if it's not, then that also draws a red flag.
Sure. That's a great tool for us then.
Oh, it's an amazing tool.
Yeah. So that's a future sponsor. Highway, give me the full legal name. Highway Transportation?
Just Highway.
Just Highway. HIGHWAY?
Yeah, highway.com.
Highway.com. They're helping us verify carriers' information, their safety ratings. Obviously, like you said, their insurance.
They also have safety scores on there,
right.
The basic scores, blue wire scores, which is big right now for broker liability.
Sure. Tell me about broker liability and what's happened in the last couple months.
Well, if you hire somebody with a bad safety score and something happens over the road, then there's a possibility that the broker can be liable. I haven't read the whole article yet, but there was an issue with down in Florida with a U-turn, which I'm sure we all heard about. CH did just get off that case.
Really? That's relatively new.
That is relatively new. I just saw the article before we walked in here, and I was reading it briefly.
Yeah. Breaking news. Well, but the ruling from the Supreme Court was essentially, you know, previously it was all on the carrier.
Correct.
And then the Supreme Court ruled that, well, through negligence or whatever, not following proper procedures, the broker should accept some liability for hiring a non-safety approved carrier.
Correct. But the FMCSA has also approved these carriers. So it puts the brokers in a weird position because they already have made them active.
Right.
But they say they don't have enough employees.
Yeah. So that's a challenging element of this whole gumbo of freight that we're dealing with.
So when I first started, I remember everyone asking me like, oh my gosh, is your life like Fast and Furious? Do you have people like running up and like stealing trucks or like, how do you prevent that? And
yes.
I was like, I haven't had that happen to me necessarily. I know that we've had some instances where, you know, drivers have explained that not on our loads, but other loads, there were some dicey situations. But all of that, like, is a lot of misconception of what the issues actually are and how much goes into it. So, like, a rate confirmation and a bill of lading are two very different things, but the information needs to be accurate on both of them. And I think that's where it goes into how much we do and how much goes into sourcing the carrier, confirming the information, making sure that they get dispatched, making sure that they show up on time. It is so many steps that you and your team, Sean, make look really, really simple. But like when you line it out, I think our internal SOP on carrier qualification, just to confirm that the carrier is able to book on the load, not even the steps of booking, is 12 pages.
Yeah, it's a doozy.
But it needs to happen. Yeah, but it's just kind of goes to show, like, we have customers all the time tell us like, oh, no, just send us over a blank BOL. It doesn't matter. And we're like, no. It matters. We need all of the information in here. So I think for us to do our jobs well with the court rulings, with, you know, all the different, I guess, legal rules and things that we need to keep an eye for, like, we have to be able to be the experts so we can coach and train the network that we're working with as well. That, no, I understand that they were nice, but if they don't have a license, you can't load them. We understand that they were, you know, like, they're here and they're on time, but if you can't confirm that these numbers are matching, please don't load them. We need the signed BOLs. We need to confirm all of these details. And I think there is some trust, and then there's a lot of facilities and shippers that have zero trust.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it would just be nice if everyone could be on the same page. But then there wouldn't be people like us who do it really right to help everybody else out.
Yeah, we definitely need the shippers on our side. Like, we are going through our processes, whether it's through Carrier 411, highway history, checking VINs, checking ELDs, checking macro point to see how many times that driver has possibly tracked on a load, or if there's ever been a spoof load with that driver. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but the shipper needs to help us out, and they need to be partnering with all brokers.
And macro point and ELDs are different. So macro point is pinging the driver, where ELDs is the electronic data logs that is the truck itself, correct?
Correct, but MacroPoint does both.
Does
MacroPoint both? MacroPoint can either track their TMS, their ELD, or their cell phone.
Okay, so
we prefer
a couple
the
different
ELD.
Options.
The first option is ELD for MacroPoint, and then that's the same with Highway. Highway's tracking only ELDs, no cell phones.
Okay, because I know that jumping quickly to another scenario. We can go back to our original one, but we were talking before recording that there's relays where drivers will drop at a yard to have someone else with fresh hours go and do the delivery. It's completely legal. It is the same carrier. Everything is fine. But if it is pinging a driver's cell phone, it will change or look like he's going all of a sudden a different direction.
Correct. That's our biggest pain point right now with MacroPoint and tracking either ELD or cell phone. If that dispatcher is not telling us that they changed drivers, then we're going to be tracking the local driver for that whatever, how many hours or after hours, if we don't catch it. So until the next morning is when we'll find out.
But I am surprised by how many lanes and loads that we have that we just, it's just, you just know.
Yeah.
Like you have a new, you have a new hire coming on, you're talking to them like, well, the macro point's going to cause an issue here for 15 minutes. So you tell the customer not to panic. They're not actually in Kansas right now. Everything is fine. And it's just a, you know, one quick sentence and everyone is calmed down and it's not actually an issue.
Correct. And you think it would be second nature for a lot of these dispatchers too, but you have to reach out and ask for the OTR driver or the road driver.
You also think it would be, you know, second nature to bring your license when you're driving a truck, but you know,
that is true.
That happens too.
Run into that.
We'll get into some best practices here shortly, but I just want to, you know, this would be a good time if I had, I think of the scene in Animal House when they're under the jury and they're singing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. So if we could, I was going to touch on the fact that Teddy was talking about, you know, that people would just say, oh, just send a driver. You have like a driver circling around this warehouse, don't you? Like the amount of effort and proper procedures that need to be followed all across the board, not just in our office, not just at a shipper, not just at a receiver, but everyone together, right? To move a load of product, it can be anything. It can be chips, it can be beverages, it can be hazardous materials. But to think about that you have to pick up in Ontario, California, and drive 2,800 miles or more to Edison, New Jersey, to drop it off in a timely manner, you have to show up at the shipper within the hours. You have to have the right pickup number. You have to have the right equipment to load the right number of pallets. You have to verify the paperwork on the BOL. You have to follow the protocols depending on the weight in the certain, you know, areas. You may have to go to the southern route to not go into elevation because of the type of product. You have to follow the speed limit. You have to follow the directions. You have to then check in at the receiver. You have to have that correct number. You have to have the right address. You have to go to the right dock door. You have to have the right equipment to help unload. You maybe have to have a safety vest or safety goggles or safety hat to get into that warehouse. At some point, you're going to have to stop if you're a single driver. So you have to stop at the right truck stops that are verified as safety. You have to secure the load. You have to have a seal on it. You might have to have a padlock on it to avoid getting stolen. All of these things need to go right. And this is where I think it's really important that we do a really good job here of kind of appreciating the people who are doing the work that are out in the field. But it's wild to think about that on that level because we process those types of transactions every single day. But to think that we are just a cog in the trillion-dollar industry of logistics, you know, a grain of sand, if you will, to get real philosophical. But no wonder people are, right now we're seeing rates go up. And right now we're seeing capacity exit. Some would say, or at least there's a hypothesis, this is quote-unquote bad capacity, right? These are folks who came in at a time that were allowed, but maybe passed and got their CDL licenses. In this case, we're calling it fraudulently. There were schools that were set up that were taking people's money to give them CDLs with maybe not verifying that they could pass all of the right tests. So to think that we have a bunch of 80,000-pound missiles going 70 miles an hour down the highway and we are allowing people to operate those without the right verifications and aren't able to follow all of those steps what I just listed out is concerning. But what's great is I feel really good about the people here at Zipline that are executing this on a daily basis. And there's certainly shippers, receivers, customers out there who are helping us execute that. And when you find one that's really, really good, that's doing everything the right way, who's engaging with us to make sure that we're verifying the drivers. And certainly when you find a driver or a carrier partner that's doing things the right way, who's giving you the extra step of communication, who's providing you the information, who's got a clean truck, who's, you know, appropriate when things things change, right? Things go poorly sometimes. Like, this is the nature of the game. Like, we're not perfect 100% of the time. But when you have a good attitude, when you have the right mindset about, hey, this is, we thought you were 10 a.m. It's actually 10 p.m. Let's stick around. I'm sorry. This is what's going to happen. Here are the steps we can take. It makes you appreciate it that much more. So stop the music now. Let's move on to our next scenario.
Well, it's okay. So if you are getting something done in your house, we just had to have like our air conditioning replaced.
Always fun.
There's so many options that you have. You can go through like generic home warranty and they have options, and then you can get referrals. But you don't just like call someone and be like, hey, you got this, right? You got to double check. You check their ratings. Like, even like if you're applying for a new job, you double check and see like what the reviews are of the job, like things like that. Like, there's so many instances in our every single day life. Like, you don't just get a new doctor without looking at the reviews or reading up on them. So like, you shouldn't do that with a logistics partner either. And confirming that information, and usually, and at least in my cases, it's always the slightly more expensive option that I should have gone with in the first place. And I would have ended up saving money, but I'm like, no, I'll do this one because it's cheaper. It's $100 less. It's going to save me money. This is the way to go. And I usually always regret it. We've said in so many podcasts before that this is an investment. And in order for an investment to be successful and grow long term, it might be a little bit more expensive up front, but it will save you money in the long run. And I think that's like, if you were talking to your partner and they can't confirm what their process is, or they're not explaining to you why rates are increasing because of all the different court rulings and things like that, then they're probably not doing this the correct way. There's probably some fraudulence going on. And that should be your red flag, is if they are not willing to have these discussions, it's a problem.
Great call out.
Yep, very well put, guys.
All right, so we're going to talk about some of these red flags, Sean, and you just give me a quick riff on them, or you could say, yep, that happens all the time. So some typical common warning signs that we're seeing when we're talking to carriers, okay? You ready?
Ready.
Newly established carrier authority. Give me an example. What does that mean?
That means they just entered into the market, and it shows maybe 1 or 2 months. So our process is, with the new FMCSA ruling, they want it to be at least 18 months. So, okay, which is going to be an issue, which is also a general issue that you touched on a little bit ago about capacity.
Yeah.
So before, when we had these market shifts, new capacity would be entering into the market.
Yep.
And there wouldn't be as many regulations around it. So now we have these inflated rates. We have a bunch of people that might want to try to start their own company. Like, hey, the trucking industry is booming right now. I'm going to go start up an MC.
Yeah.
They're not going to get loaded. Unless if you have an in, but more than likely, they're still not going to get loaded. So
what would the in be?
Either a broker that would be possibly willing to take the risk, or if you know somebody personally as a shipper that works with assets, you have a history, like, hey, I have a driving history.
Yeah.
I've been doing this. You can check my record.
Okay.
If you have an in, something like that. But
so this is the classic conundrum of, as Teddy was talking about, you're applying for a new job. You're like, hey, you're fresh out of college. We're really looking for someone with experience. You're like, cool. Well, I don't have a job yet. So how am I supposed to get experience? Well, we're really looking for carriers that have 18 months of, well, I'm a brand new carrier. So how am I supposed to drive for 18 months if you won't hire me? This is a little bit challenging, folks.
Yeah.
Glad we're on the same page. Red flag number two. Extremely low rates. This one is, you know, sometimes it feels you're too good to be true. You're working on the spot loan. You're like, we nailed it. Man, we got $2,500 in this loan. This guy's doing it for $1,200. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, that's a red flag. You definitely want to keep an eye out for that. Either they're going to be trying to take your load to another legitimate carrier, which would be double brokering, and they say that they're going to pay carrier two that $2,500 for the market.
Yeah.
We think we're getting a steal at $1,200. They have the legitimate carrier move it. And then the legitimate carrier does not get paid. And possibly the $1,200 guy could get paid.
Yeah. There's a little quick pay action. Here's the POD.
Yeah.
Send it our way. Phone numbers that don't match FMCSA records. This is another good one.
Yeah, that's also a red flag. That's something we're double checking every day. We have multiple people that will possibly call in from their cell phone.
Yeah.
Which that could be legitimate, but you always want to double check the main line or lines that we're showing on highway or carrier 411 to make sure we know who we're talking to.
It says you're based in Columbus, Ohio, yet you're calling me from Seattle, Washington.
Correct.
Why is that? Oh,
I just moved.
That's where I grew up. Generic email domains. Oh, awesome one. One of my faves. Yeah, just definitely. Send it to Jesse at steelyourtruck.com. Bad email /
There
Sorry.
Are still some carriers out there with the Gmails, but
totally
definitely carriers you, it would draw attention to. You would definitely need to do some digging. Majority of the carriers, at least after there's been the spur of bad actors, a lot of these guys changed it to have their own domain. The legitimate carriers.
Yeah. And I would give another one too of, you know, verifying the email domains. Sometimes it'll be just like one letter off.
Correct.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I think there's still a Sean Buckle at Zipline with a
logistic.com.
I forget what it was, but the cat or logistic or one of the I's was an L.
Yeah. It's like a lowercase L instead of an I.
So
classic.
But luckily we had some good carriers out there catching it.
Sure. Reluctance to provide documentation.
As far as, what are we
thinking? I think we've seen it like
no driver's license. Or,
yeah, driver's license. That's a good one.
If they don't want to provide a driver's license, that's a pretty big red flag, especially with the non-domiciled issues that we have going on right now. So, yeah, if they don't want to provide that, if you're not getting a BOL after they say that they're loaded, another red flag. If their POD takes time to get to you, it could be possibly the driver sleeping, like they say. But the driver still should have been uploading that right when he got empty in the first place.
Sure.
So this isn't necessarily the same level as red flag, but like you are trying to dispatch your carrier. It's an hour before pickup and they keep saying like, oh yeah, we're working on it. We'll get the information over to you right away.
Yeah, like, you're off the load.
Yeah, not necessarily like an issue as far as like them trying to steal it or double broker it, but it can cause a lot of issues in the overall like transit.
It's usually them trying to buy time. The driver that they thought they were going to be assigned is probably still getting empty at a previous delivery. Or, like you said, they could be looking for another carrier if they're trying to double broker it. But if they're giving you the runaround an hour before the pickup, it's best just to, even if they say they're 5 miles away, it's best to try to go out there and find another carrier and just go ahead and be straight up with your shipper. Hey, we need to recover this load. We'll keep you posted on the new driver info.
I think that part is so important, too, because if you already are sharing information and you say that this carrier is picking up, but then you switch it, you could end up getting your carrier rejected by accident because the shipper's like, no, we were told it was this trucking company. Yeah. We're not loading it and cause some issues. Or they accidentally do load the original carrier, even though we sent a new one in, and you can make a whole lot of people mad.
For sure.
Yeah, things are moving fast. I think the last two, we've got tracking resistance. That's always a good one. Like, oh, we'll get you his number. He's just going to turn it on.
So there isn't too much tracking resistance.
Yeah.
As of...
From the good folks.
Yeah. Right now, there's none. Because so many people have been pushing on... Well, EODs have to be mandated. I mean, there's few drivers or carriers out there that are EOD exempt. But yeah, everyone is asking for tracking. They want to know where their freight's located. And some of the drivers are like, I don't want to be tracked. It's like, dude, we're not doing anything with your location.
Yeah.
We just want to know where this $100,000 load's at or more.
It's wild. Well, again, it goes back to the comment I had earlier about when you find folks who are doing it the right way, it's that much.
Makes our jobs a lot easier.
Yeah. It makes you appreciate everything. And again, reminder, folks, I think we shipped between 65 and 75,000 loads last year, just us, right? So like, this isn't at 250 business days. I'm not going to do some quick math here, but that's like 300 loads a day or something like that. Maybe that doesn't track, but either way, it's busy.
It is busy.
Right? It's not just like one person, one load from soup to nuts. It's all the way across the board, like it's constant, right? And so when you get into those situations where, you know, you're looking for those red flags, you're like, hey, this is the expectation. It's nice that we have carrier relationships and partnerships that are all on
the
board.
Carrier
and
relationships
knock it out of the park.
And partnerships are huge because of those loads, over 70% of those are booked with core carriers.
It is amazing to me how it does become second nature. Like, there are still things that I feel like I have to come over to you and your team about. Like, I don't understand what you're saying or why this is a problem that seems fine to me. And then you have to go through all the tools and explain to me. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, then now that makes sense. But like, to someone else, it's like, yeah, this is fine. It's a truck. Take it. Let's move it. Like, we got things to do. But those 17 extra steps you do pay off. But it is not always understood how you figure it out or how you hear three words and realize we're taking this carrier off. Something's not right.
Right. That is a good thing about this team. They're all vetted. They've all been here for more than 3 years.
Yeah.
So that's always nice to have.
We touched on it a little bit, but just dive deep into it. Carrier verification. So we've got Highway and Carrier 411 are our primary tools that we use, correct?
Correct. And then there's also Safer and Modus.
Yeah.
Modus is the new FMCSA.
And we're connected electronically to Highway and Carrier 411?
Correct.
So it auto-updates our system as well. That's what's a positive.
Just Highway. Carrier 411 doesn't auto.
Great.
But Highway does. It puts comments in their profile. And there's also the two-factor verification now with Highway. So you send the Raycon. They have to be able to log into their Highway account to accept the load.
That's cool.
Yeah. So even if a carrier were to say, oh, my email possibly got compromised, then there wouldn't be a way to get around that if it was sent through their two-factor verification.
Great. Another thing we do, monitoring the authority age. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. I mean, some of these MCs are getting bought up or sold. Yeah. So
what does that mean? Authority age?
Well, that would be
how long you've been in business.
Yeah. Okay. Like how either you're starting up a new company or you see a history gap. The history gap either could be them not getting their insurance filed on time, which I guess it happens, but still not a great sign. They're selling their MCs. A lot of these bad actors will buy up MCs that say, like, holy cow, this carrier has 100 trucks, over 100 inspections. This is right along the route that they used to run. And psych, it's not them. But there is things to look for there, like with how many tractors and trailers are on their insurance.
Tracking tech. We touched on it with MacroPoint.
Samsara.
Trucking tools.
Trucker tools.
Yeah.
MacroPoint. And then Samsara is always nice too. Our IT set up Samsara links to, as long as we put it into the load, that it'll automatically update as well.
Those are links to their, primarily their ELDs.
ELD, correct.
So again, that's feeding right into our system. We can track it. We're monitoring it. It shows up to visibility for our customers. The thing we touched on briefly, but insurance verification, that's one of my favorite. That's an auto update. So if the insurance slips, expires, what have you, that updates automatically into our system. But then again, we're checking the VIN numbers on the insurance via Highway.
Correct. And that is a good thing about being linked up with Highway through on McLeod. If their insurance does expire, or even say if the load is picking up tomorrow, and they're insured, and it doesn't live until Monday, but their insurance expires Saturday.
Yeah.
It's still got a red flag. You can't book that carrier.
Sure.
Say their insurance is expired.
Communication protocols. This is one of my favorites. You know, we're doing our best to connect with drivers primarily.
Yeah. I mean, when we get driver info, we want to call the driver, verify who he drives for.
Yeah.
We want to call the main line. Like, nothing should be ever booked just through over email.
Yeah.
It's always got to be the phone calls.
Yep.
To verify who you're talking to.
And then we're setting expectations with the carrier, both dispatcher and driver, like
multiple updates a day.
Yeah. We're not trying to blast you, but our expectation is that you're communicating with us, especially if we're reaching out, but we'd like you to be more proactive.
Correct. It's going to be a 10-second call. Where are you located? Is everything good? You still on track?
Yeah.
Awesome. Drive safe.
I mean, thanks. I think we're really, really fun. I feel like people would want to talk to us.
Speak for yourself, Teddy. we're just going to do a little round table here. What's the single biggest mistake companies make that leaves them vulnerable to double brokering or fraud or in general. Teddy, do you want to talk about that?
Not prioritizing communication and confirmation.
Okay. Sean?
Yeah, not having a core group of core carriers, I would say.
So,
like I mentioned a little bit ago, over 70% of our loads are booked through core carriers. The other half aren't technically core, but we have a history for them. You know, they've somewhat ran the load for us in the past.
Yeah.
Which our system catches.
These are consistent carriers that we have a history with, that they understand the protocols, they're talking to us, et cetera.
So if you're booking, or if you're dealing with a broker that's posting over 50% of their loads on load boards, then that isn't going to be good.
That's probably.
So we're already reducing that example size.
For sure.
By quite a bit.
Absolutely. Two good call-outs. So
what's your answer?
Well, we already talked about it, but you know what I think, recognizing that there need to be policies and procedures put in place, not following those to a T.
Yeah.
Moving too fast, right? Like, again, it gets hectic in the world of logistics, but you got to do your due diligence and everyone's got to be on the same page. So setting the expectations up front, we've talked about this before, but, you know, doing the simple things well. I don't know what the Warren Buffett quote is, but it's something like, it does not take extraordinary actions to have extraordinary results. Simple, basic things that are the same thing every day, that mm-hmm. you're doing the right thing every single time. As long as you do that, you should be fine.
I feel like I'm trying to teach my kids that right now with like after school. Like,
how's that going?
Put your shoes away. Like it takes 16 seconds now versus 15 minutes on Saturday when we can't go to the pool because we can't get out of the door because there's a pile of shoes.
Yeah.
It's working pretty well, actually. It's getting there. So, you know, the 16 seconds versus the 15 minutes, like we got timers going on. They're seeing it. So it's real.
My lovely wife, Maggie, drew a nice little sunshine on a piece of paper and wrote, "Have I tidied up my area in the car on our door into our garage?" Mm-hmm. And like put it on there. So yeah,
like that.
That's a good one.
We'll see if that works. So far, so good. But yeah, I mean, the kids are 10 and 5. Like, let's go. Start pulling your weight around here, kids.
I'm just saying, I feel like it's hard when you think about it, but then all of a sudden something clicks and you realize I just spent 45 minutes trying to get this set up when it actually would have just taken me less than 30 seconds to do this in the first place.
Correct. Simple things.
Simple things.
Well, as usual, if you want to learn more about this, if you want to talk to us more about our verification, carrier verification, qualification processes, www.ziplinelogistics.com, 888-GO-ZIPLINE. Sean Buckle, Director of Carrier Sales, thanks for joining us. Teddy, always a pleasure.
Thank you
to all of our listeners, our truck yesters, our truck yeah heads for coming to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. We'll see you next time.